You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's Friday, August 17th, 2018, and you are listening to the Locked On Jets podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. As always, if you like the show, subscribe on iTunes or Spotify, and leave it a good review in iTunes. We are here today to recap the second game of the 2018 preseason for the Jets, and it really was not a very good game for the Jets. They lose 15-13 at Washington. The Redskins win the game on a last-second field goal. Otherwise, the Jets would have come out of Washington with a win, but even if the Jets had won this game, there really was not a ton to love about this performance by the Jets, which is not the end of the world. I think it's really not a terrible thing to play a bad preseason game, because as we know, the results really don't matter. Nobody looks back and, you know, views a training camp win or loss as a turning point of the season. You know, sometimes it's good for the coaching staff to be able to kind of go back to the drawing board and, you know, show players, you know, kind of get players' attention and to be able to display things players are going wrong, correct things that aren't that great. So not necessarily the end of the world. So maybe you get some players to refocus. I mean, I can remember a number of years where the Jets looked unbeatable in preseason, and then the regular season starts and they're terrible. So not necessarily the worst thing in the world, but the Jets really did not play a very good game last night. Which, you know, they were coming off an excellent performance week one of the preseason. So again, maybe this helps the coaching staff get some people's attention that allow them to correct things. The Jets are now 1-1 in preseason, and I think everybody's focus is the quarterback situation, so I guess we'll start there. And if we're talking about the quarterbacks last night, I don't think the dynamics of this competition really changed a ton. I think that Sam Darnold and Teddy Bridgewater both went out there. I don't think either guy seized the starting job. I don't think either guy ended the competition, which I think if Sam Darnold had gone out there and absolutely lit it up last night, the Jets may have announced this week. You may have heard an announcement within the next few days that Darnold had won the starting job. I don't think Darnold went out there and won the job. I also don't think he played poorly enough to go out there and lose the job. And Bridgewater did what you'd expect him to do. Bridgewater got the second half. And again, the second half of the second preseason game where you're playing against really fringe roster types, you know, guys who are either not going to be in the NFL this year or guys who are going to barely see playing time just because they're buried so deep on the depth chart. You know, you would expect a guy who's an established quarterback in this league, a guy who's shown he can be a starter in this league, against that type of defense, you'd expect him to go out there and dominate. And that's really what Teddy Bridgewater did. It's exactly what you would expect him to do. 10 of 15, 127 yards, a touchdown, an interception. And that even kind of undersells what Bridgewater did, because there were a couple of big drops. Chad Hansen had a big drop. So Bridgewater, I mean, that's pretty much what you'd expect from Bridgewater. Darnold was 8 of 11, but only for 62 yards and an interception. I think a lot of that just had to do with the way the Jets had to call this game. Jeremy Bates' hands were kind of tied. Early on, the offensive line really struggled in pass protection. And when the offensive line struggles in pass protection, you really limit the playbook quite a bit. You take a lot off the table. And you pretty much had what Bates had to do was what he did. He kind of adjusted after a pretty ugly first series, and you either run the ball or you go empty. You let the quarterback make pre-snap reads so he can figure out where to go with the ball and get it out of his hands quickly. And that's really all the Jets could do. And Jets could not run the ball that effectively in this game. Again, a lot of it had to do with the offensive line. Bilal Powell broke a nice run or two, but the offensive line really limited what the Jets could do. But you have to run, and I have a feeling this is going to be a complaint during the season with the Jets. People are going to complain the Jets can't get the run game going, but they stick to it. But this is especially true if Darnold's in there. The Jets do have to commit to the run game to some extent. Even if it's not working, you can't leave this kid in the shotgun all day with this offensive line and just let the defense pin its ears back and go attack him, you know, with the run not even being an option. You at least have to force the defense to respect the run, maybe slow them down half a step and understand that, you know, the run is still on the table. So that's what the Jets did. And again, the passing game was very limited. I mean, it was really kind of based on just going empty, going to the shotgun and getting the ball out of Darnold's hands quickly. And we did not see a lot of dynamic play after the catch from the Jets, which we did see. We did see a little bit more of that out of when Bridgewater was in there, which is, again, kind of reflected in the stats. Darnold's number is 62 yards on 11 passes. Don't look that impressive. And, I mean, he didn't do anything spectacular. He was not as good as he was week one, I don't think. But, again, I think he was – when I watched him, I did not see a guy who looked overwhelmed by any stretch of the imagination. I did not think he was in over his head. I think, for the most part, I mean, you saw him make the correct reads. And then there was the interception, which was on a fourth down play, which, as I was watching live, I said, well, there's a rookie mistake. And then I watched it over after the game ended, and it was really actually kind of a fluky play where – Darnold's line of vision was kind of constricted because the Jets had run a play fake to his left, and coming from the right side, which was out of his field of vision because of the spot where the Jets ran the play fake, came a defender, a safety, who was going to be covering Bilal Powell out of the backfield. He was coming from his right to his left, and Darnold just didn't see him. And again, it was really just based on where the play took Darnold's line of vision, and he deflected the pass, and it was intercepted. It was a fourth down play anyway, so, you know, if you're going to force a pass, that's probably the spot. But I don't think it was a force. I just think it was kind of a fluky play. So that, you know, that's really where it comes down with Darnold. I thought in a lot of ways the performances of Bridgewater and Darnold were reversed from what you saw last week, where Darnold was generally in a quote-unquote game manager's role, where he was kind of just making the right decisions. He wasn't really making a ton of big plays, whereas Bridgewater this week was the guy who was the playmaker. You know, he was making tough throws into the teeth of the defense. And it's not exactly surprising because, again, last week Darnold was against the third stringers. He was against the fringe roster types when the Jets played Atlanta, and Bridgewater was against, you know, starters, backups. This week the roles were reversed, whereas Darnold got the reps against the first and second stringers, and Bridgewater played against the guys who really aren't going to be in the NFL. So I think that there are a number of different ways you can look at this quarterback situation. I mean, I think there are arguments to start Darnold. I think there are arguments to start Bridgewater. I think it's up in the air. I'm not sure which of the two is the best quarterback right now. I think they bring different things to the table. I think despite what I just said, Darnold gives you a higher ceiling. I don't think there's any question about that. I think of the quarterbacks, Darnold gives this team the highest ceiling just because he makes plays that Bridgewater can't. Bridgewater is probably going to be the steadier force who's not going to make as many spectacular plays, probably will make less mistakes. Bridgewater threw an interception last night, and it looked like a really bad underthrow if you were watching it live. Again, I watched that one after the game. I watched it over, and I thought that he was trying to throw back shoulder, and Charles Johnson, the receiver, just did not recognize it, did not adjust to the ball well, which was true last week on a play when Darnold was throwing the ball. So Charles Johnson, who I've said many times, I can't figure out why he's on the team, and I think I finally figured out a rationale, is that he played in Minnesota with Bridgewater, so the Jets may have just wanted to have a receiver who had some sort of relationship with Teddy, some sort of chemistry with Teddy on the roster when Bridgewater plays second half of these preseason games. And you saw maybe it didn't work last night because Bridgewater threw an interception that was due in part to a miscommunication. Now, Teddy does have to take some responsibility because it was a first down play and his check down was open. May not be the spot you want to go back shoulder down the field, but Johnson really did not do a great job on that play. I think that if you are looking at this from the standpoint of the offensive line, maybe that's a scenario where you'd lean more toward Bridgewater, just so you don't want to put your franchise quarterback behind an offensive line that looks like this. Now, in fairness, the Jets had a couple backups in there, So I think more than anything, what you saw was, it's not so much that the starting offensive line is an issue, which it is. I don't think there's any question that the starting offensive line is an issue, but this offensive line has absolutely zero depth. Jonathan Harrison, in place of Brian Winters, was beaten pretty badly for a sack the first series of the game. And Brent Quale, I mean, I understand that if your left tackle goes down, most teams are going to be in trouble, but man, he was not good. And this was the backup plan at left tackle for Kelvin Beachum, who, you know, is not, I'm not sure I'd say Beachum's been injury prone, but you know, Beachum's had some health issues, both in terms of being forced to miss games and his play being impacted. You know, he had that issue with his knee last year in Pittsburgh, that year in Jacksonville. This is your backup plan. I mean, and again, it goes back to the plays the Jets were calling, that this did not stand out more, because if Jeremy Bates had not adjusted and essentially gone to the quick passing game when the Jets threw the ball, you would have noticed. It would have been noticeable, because he was losing on Quale was losing on practically every play when I was watching him, and it just did not get exposed because Darnold was getting the ball out quickly. So, you know, I think the offensive line, which probably will not be as bad as we saw last night, because you'll get some starters back in hopefully soon. Because, boy, Jets have big problems if they don't. But, you know, the fact that you don't have a good offensive line, that may be a point in favor of starting Bridgewater. One good thing for Bridgewater, I would say, is that he showed he could take a hit last night. And, you know, there was one hit in particular that looked really bad. I mean, it looked like his knee kind of buckled the way you expect a player's knee to buckle if he suffers a serious injury. And he bounced back and still played well after that point. He took a couple other big hits. I mean, I know he took some hits in week one, but not like the ones he took last night. So that was, you know, that's a positive, I think. I think him taking a hit like that once, while not ideal, at least shows that he can absorb something, that, you know, he's strong enough to absorb something like that. You don't want to see him take that hit a second time, though. So you have plenty to digest at the quarterback position from last night's game. Again, I don't think anybody ran away with the job. I think, you know, on points, Bridgewater probably had the better night of the two. He also had the easier assignments, whereas last week I would have said Darnold had the better game of the two, and Darnold had the easier assignment. So I think this competition heads to week three. And at this point, really, the only thing I can say is you can make a case for either guy, I think. And I think, you know, the offensive line, again, you might not want to put your prize young quarterback behind this offensive line. Bridgewater has also shown in his career, he had a terrible offensive line early in his career with Minnesota, so he's shown he can survive behind a bad offensive line. The only thing I'd say is, unequivocally, my one point about the quarterback position, Josh McCown should not be starting. And I don't know what this ESPN crew was talking about last night. I think Booger McFarland said, I don't dislike anybody on this ESPN crew. I think that, you know, they might be good once they put it all together, but this was really, I mean, the way they handled the second half, I get that, you know, it's a national game. It's not, you know, it's not just Jets fans or Redskins fans watching, but I mean, these guys seemed very disinterested in this game during the second half last night. And they finally got back around to the Jets, and Booker McFarland said that you play Josh McCown because he's making $10 million. You have two promising young quarterbacks who are 25 or under. I mean, that's the only thing I'll say about this quarterback situation right now, is I think there's a case to be made to start either Darnold or Bridgewater. There's no case to be starting Josh McCown right now. There's no scenario on God's green earth, aside from a scenario where maybe Bridgewater gets traded, Darnold gets hurt. God forbid. Maybe that's what, I mean, that if either Darnold or Bridgewater is on the roster or healthy, there's no way Josh McCown should be starting. And that's, you know, the Bridgewater trade scenario, that's another thing that factors into the decision. Even if Bridgewater was ahead, and I'm not sure he is at this point in the competition, and, you know, you can get a decent trade offer for him, I'd probably do it, because, I mean, I think having Darnold out there, and even a scenario where Bridgewater is slightly better than Darnold, and again, I'm not sure I'm there on that. I think it's close between which of the two is the better quarterback. I think they bring different things to the table. But in that scenario where, even Bridgewater is a little bit better, you may look at this and say, well, is whatever small edge Bridgewater has worth keeping the franchise quarterback off the field the quarterback of the future off the field and starting, you know, getting him this experience. So a lot to consider there. So I think the quarterback situation goes to a third week, and I think it's close. I think it's close between Darnold and Bridgewater. There's no reason to start Josh McCown. That's the only thing I would say. That's my only real takeaway from this quarterback situation. As you look at the way Bridgewater's playing, you look at the way Darnold's playing, Josh McCown should not be the starting quarterback on this team. You know, we've seen positives from both Sam and Teddy. Now we head to week 3 of the preseason. The Jets take on the Giants next Friday at MetLife Stadium, and the NFL regular season's right around the corner. This season, don't sit around watching the Jets from home when you can be at MetLife in the crowd cheering in person thanks to Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is offering Locked On Jets listeners 10% off your first ticket order when you use our exclusive promo code Locked On. That's one word, Locked On, LOCKEDON, no space. New customers only, and the offer is good through the end of August. Preseason and regular season tickets are available now. The Jets kick off their home schedule in September against the Dolphins, and you can be there for the excitement. Go to VividSeats.com or download the Vivid Seats app and enter the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's all one word, LOCKEDON, for 10% off your first order. The offseason is over, the NFL is back, and Vivid Seats wants to help you get to the game. We will move away from the quarterback position to take a look at some of the other players' performances in this week 2 preseason game between the Jets and the Redskins. I think you'd have to start off with the first team defense, and not a great performance by the first team defense or the second team defense or the third team defense. They only gave up 15 points, but Washington, you know, had a lot of success moving the ball. I mean, there were a couple of plays out there where there were a couple of plays where the Jets either stepped up in the red zone, or there was a lucky bounce to the ball, like Doug Middleton's interception, where the ball hit him in the hands. The ball hit the receiver in the hands and went right to Middleton. And I mean, credit to Middleton for catching the tipped ball, but not really a lot that he did there to create that interception. So, you know, not a great performance by the defense. But on the other hand, I mean, the caveat I'd say is, first of all, it's preseason, so the bulk of this game was played by second stringers. And second of all, it really looked like the Jets played a very vanilla defense. I mean, this was not the defensive scheme that I think you're going to see during the season. And that's another reason where you should take these preseason results with a grain of salt, because Jets aren't game planning. They're not trying to take away the other team's best player the way they might in the regular season. They're not trying to scheme around that. They're not necessarily focused on matchups. And it seemed like they played a lot of soft zone. It really did. It seemed like that they were very conservative on defense, which I would expect them to be more gamble more in the regular season. When they paid Trumaine Johnson all this money, you're expecting him to hold up on an island. So, you know, not necessarily anything to panic over. Not a very good performance by the defense, but not necessarily anything to panic over because of the approach the Jets are taking to this preseason game. I think that, you know, it's a scenario where you're not happy, but again, a bad performance in preseason is not necessarily the worst thing in the world. Again, it may help the coaching staff get players to refocus. You play well, maybe you tune the message out a little bit, you tune criticism out because you think the team's playing well. You play like that, maybe your players are a little more receptive to criticism. So I never think it's a bad thing if you play one bad preseason game. Now, you'd like to see the Jets go out and play better next week, especially against the Giants, the quote-unquote all-important third preseason game, which, to the extent you're simulating the regular season, you do that in the third preseason game, so that'll be something to watch. But, you know, was it good? No. Is it anything that should ring alarm bells? No. Especially after, I mean, to the extent I'd be worried, it's if when you play two straight bad preseason games, and even then I'm not that worried, but so we'll see what happens next week. The Jets were coming off a strong performance. Now, one performance on that first team defense that really does need to be noted, and it was somewhat discouraging. Again, I'm not going to go overboard in the preseason. Not going to do it, but Darren Lee really kind of stuck out as a guy who struggled in this game. And what jumps out to me about Lee is that I've said on a number of occasions, this is kind of a make or break year for him. I think, you know, you can make excuses about his first two seasons, why he hasn't really played up to the standards of a first-round pick. This is the year it has to happen for him. And I'm not going to go crazy over a couple series, but you know, you did not see a good performance last night from Darren Lee. He, you know, was lost in coverage once or twice. He got wiped out on a big run, which has been a chronic issue where he just cannot get off blocks, which was never going to be his forte. You'd like to have seen him at least grow a little bit. You'd like to see him at least occasionally be able to get off a block, and you'd like to see him not get totally wiped out to the point where it's going to be a big run if the other team can lay a hat on him. And then he also took a horse collar penalty on special teams. So a really rough night for Darren Lee. You know, not the type of performance you love to see out of him. So that, you know, I think that's really my takeaway from the first team defense. Jordan Jenkins, I thought, had a pretty strong game. He was called on a penalty that was kind of shaky, and I think it was one of those penalties that you see in preseason where the refs are just trying to make a point. I don't know that that's a penalty in a regular season game what they flag Jenkins for. I think people complain about the officiating in people complain they throw too many flags. I don't think you're going to see this number of flags in the regular season. And if you do, it'll only be for the first few weeks. I think the officials are kind of trying to set the tone because players are smart. Players adjust. If a player knows that something he does is going to get flagged, he'll adjust to that. So I think if you're looking for a bright spot on the defense, it probably would be Jordan Jenkins. And I thought Nathan Shepard, again, had a pretty solid game. You know, Nathan Shepard, who right now I think looks like he's on track to earn a starting job because I think the defensive line is going to rotate. You know, your starters on defense, your primary backups on the defensive line are still going to get plenty of playing time, but he's going to get, you know, he really is looking like he's going to get a decent share of the playing time. You know, the learning curve may not be as big as one might have expected for a guy coming out of a small school. He looks like he may come in and make an impact right away. And you almost have to say that through the first 2 weeks of the preseason, he might be the best defensive lineman that the Jets have had. He might be, and I don't want to go, again, I'm not going overboard on two weeks of preseason, but I think through the first two preseason weeks, he's looked even better than Leonard Williams. We'll see whether that continues. I'm not sure that it necessarily will. If we are talking about the offense, you know, if we're going into the backups, who were some of the winners, who were some of the losers, I think Daryl Roberts, you know, not a great performance by Daryl Roberts. He was beaten deep on a deep ball. He was beaten on a touchdown and got taken off the board on a penalty. Not a great performance by Daryl Roberts. A corner who I would have said, if you take the last, before the last drive of the game, a corner who I would have said had a good game before the last drive of the game was Rashard Robinson, who was tested a number of times down the field and held up pretty well for the most part. He did not do a good job in run support on one big run that Washington broke outside that was kind of in his area. But aside from that, he was playing solid. And then the last drive of the game came, and he was flagged for a big penalty and then was beaten on a back shoulder throw that set up the game-winning Washington field goal on the last drive. So the fact that stuff happened on the last drive and lost the game for the Jets kind of takes some of the luster off Robinson's performance. You know, it wasn't a terrible performance, but it did take some of the shine off the job he did. So that was not a, you know, so it ended up, it looked like it was going to be a really strong performance, a really strong game on tape for Robinson to take as he tries to claim one of the last roster spots at corner. And at the end of the day, it was kind of more of a mixed bag. But I still think he had a better performance than Roberts. If those two are competing for a roster spot, Robinson probably had the better of the game. You want to look at the wide receiver position, I think that there was a pretty clear winner and a pretty clear loser. The winner was Sherron Peak, who made a pretty spectacular touchdown catch in this game on a great throw by Bridgewater. That was one of those plays that was, everybody did great. It was a great throw. It was a great read by Teddy. Ball was placed in the right spot, and Peak made an excellent catch. He went up. He climbed the ladder. He went up and got that ball. So, you know, excellent job there by Peak. And the loser, I think, Chad Hansen, who just dropped a perfect throw down the field by Bridgewater that hit him in the hands. And Hansen really has needed to do something to differentiate himself. This guy has He's let me down. I thought he was my pick to be the sleeper wide receiver, and we've just seen nothing from him. He has not had a great training camp by most accounts. I did not think he had a great training camp when I was there. He really was not doing much to stand out. And that play where he had the chance to do something, the ball hit him, the ball down the field hit him in the hands, and he dropped it. So I think Chad Hansen, one of the clear losers of this game from the Jets at the wide receiver position. And we'll close by talking about winners and losers at the running back position. And to me, the big loser is Thomas Rawls, who finally was able to get on the field. I mean, he's been banged up all preseason, and as the expression goes, you can't make the club from the tub. You got to be on the field. You can't be injured. Not that it's player's fault that he's injured, but missing all that time due to injury certainly did not help Rawls' cause. And neither will his performance in this game, where he rushed for 12 yards on 8 carries. And even that may be overstating how effective he was, because he broke off a 9-yard run, which means that in the other 7 carries he had, he ran for 3 yards combined. So that's not good. And the offensive line did not do a great job run blocking, but Rawls did not really help his cause in any sense of the word and in any sense of the phrase in this game. And the winner was George Atkinson, who I thought had a really rough week one. I thought he struggled quite a bit. I think he needed a performance like this to put his name back on the radar. He had 31 yards for 7 carries, so really solid performance by Atkinson. He broke a couple nice runs. And the backfield is crowded, but there actually is an opening now for a guy like Atkinson to potentially make the roster with all the injuries the Jets have suffered at the running back position. You have Elijah McGuire, who's out for the long haul because of an injury he suffered the first training camp practice. And now Isaiah Crowell and Trenton Cannon are missing time due to injury. They missed this game. So there actually is a plausible opening for Atkinson to potentially make the roster. There might be an opening at running back that we were not expecting. And Atkinson may have helped take that. He also had one catch for 30 yards, so that was another play. So 8 touches from scrimmage, 61 yards for Atkinson. This was the type of performance he needed. And it could be, it just may be a numbers game if Crowell and Cannon get healthy. It may just end up being a numbers game that Atkinson's the odd man out. But if he's not, he took care of what he could take care of. All you can do is take care of, you can't control the things you can't control. Atkinson can't control whether there's an extra spot at running back available to him. All he can do is do his best to show he deserves it if there is. And all he can do is put some good film out there for the other teams if it isn't. And he did a solid job in this one for the Jets. That'll do it for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast. It is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you like the show, subscribe. iTunes or Spotify are your two best bets. And give the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. Have a great weekend, folks. We'll be back on Monday as the Jets turn their attention to preseason game number 3.